Costs to originate keep rising, even with more technology in the industry. The problem is the core platform. A new LOS can re-architect the process around data, not humans moving paper files. Vesta has built this LOS, and you can learn more at vesta.com.
HousingWire Daily examines the most compelling mortgage, real estate, and fintech articles reported from the HousingWire newsroom. Each afternoon, the HW Digital team provides our listeners with a deeper look into the stories that are helping move markets forward. Hosted and produced by Alcina Lloyd and Victoria Wickham. And now, here's our host.
Pulled from the hottest topics coming across our news desk, I'm Victoria Wickham, and this is HousingWire Daily. Today's episode features an interview with TIAA Bank Executive Vice President and Chief Banking Officer John Pataki. In this episode, Pataki discusses the current state of the housing market, diving into the impacts the COVID-19 pandemic has had on the housing industry, and what trends he expects to see in the market going forward. But before we listen, here's a brief word on HousingWire's newest podcast.
Right now, more than ever, the housing industry has been having honest conversations about how race impacts the home buying process. To heighten the discussion, HousingWire is launching Honest Conversations, a new mini podcast series to examine the state of minority home ownership in America. For 8 weeks starting in February, please join HousingWire Daily each Wednesday as we aim to provide listeners with a greater perspective on how race, housing, and wealth intersect and what experts are doing to close the home ownership gap. Hello, HousingWire listeners. Today, I'm joined with John Pataki, the EVP and Chief Banking Officer at TIAA Bank. Thanks for joining us on HousingWire Daily.
Good morning.
Good morning. Listeners, John will be talking to us about the current state of the housing market. As you know, we're more than a year into the COVID-19 pandemic, and while the world is inching closer towards normalcy, the pandemic is still impacting many industries across the nation. John, let's talk about one of the most important impacts of the pandemic on the housing industry, mortgage rates. Throughout last year, mortgage rates hovered near historic lows, driving home buyer demand tremendously. Last week, Freddie Mac reported in the previous week, the average mortgage rate for a 30-year fixed loan rose 5 basis points to 3.02%, marking the first time since July that the industry has seen rates break above 3%. John, my first question for you today is, how will this uptick impact home buyer demand moving forward?
Well, I certainly think it's going to cast a watchful eye on the part of the consumers, because certainly rates are significant factors that determine when they either enter the market or when they go on pause. I think it's too early in the game right now to really determine how much this movement will impact them or where the ultimate inflection point is that would cause people to step back. 3.02, as you noted with the Freddie index, still extremely low and extremely attractive on a relative basis, and it still will allow a significant number of particularly first-time home buyers to enter the market. The key watch item is, where do rates go from here? How far do they tick up? One of the things that we've been watching carefully is the 10-year treasury rate. It's a great indicator, maybe somewhat of a leading indicator of where rates may go. And as we've watched this movement from approximately 50 basis points, 0.5%, 9 months ago, 10 months ago to, today it's hovering in the 1.5 range. And so that trajectory, the slope of that starting to indicate that maybe things are going to continue to head up. And then other experts are saying that that will start to plateau. And so this early movement we've seen in the mortgage rates could slow down a little bit. I think over the longer period of time, rates will go up. You know, I think we've talked about that in past discussions. It's a matter of it at the pace of change and how that potentially affects the buying power that the consumer has, because right now the buying power is still very attractive at the current rate environment that's out there.
All right, so this brings me to my next question. Throughout last year, low rates drove demand significantly, leading to steep competition amongst buyers, which attributed to home prices rising across the nation. We've talked about how the uptick in mortgage rates will impact demand, but I want to focus on how it would affect home prices. Do you believe home prices will continue to climb, or are they likely to cool?
I think a little of both. And what I mean exactly by that is there still is sufficient demand at today's rates, and with the pure population of available first-time buyers, particularly the millennial population that in many cases has waited a little bit longer than the traditional generations before them before making their first purchase. But there still is demand for them to participate, and at, you know, round numbers, 3%, they still have decent buying power with that rate. I think we'll see a continued movement up in activity, and prices will continue to ascend until such time as rates make a much more significant move. And whether that's, you know, we crested 3%, now it may take going through a 4% barrier before we start to see things temper and that cooling, as you said, the cooling of the price rise and demand starting to take effect. You know, the just as a point of reference, when you think about where rates were at 2.75, which seemed like it wasn't that long ago for a 30-year fixed rate loan, if somebody was buying a $280,000 house, their principal and interest at that interest rate was just over $900 a month. If we get to 4% rate, that same amount now is cresting $1,100 a month. So that $200 a month impact of higher loan cost on a monthly basis, that can take some people out of the market, particularly like I say, that first time buyer, which, you know, supply and demand still is alive and well, and it does drive value. And when people are, when there's an enormous amount of buyer interest, prices go up and there's competition, and, you know, at or above asking price is the norm in many markets. I think we'll start to see that slowing down, not completely chilling, just starting to slow down because the growth has been just so rapid over the last 12 months.
All right. So we can't discuss supply and demand without discussing housing inventory. Even prior to the pandemic, housing inventory had hit record lows, and the problem was worsened as demand heightened. In 2021, is supply projected to climb or continue to dwindle?
I think we're going to continue to see a dwindling. The huge amount of activity that took place even throughout the pandemic, which was quite shocking to many, but people figured it out and realized that rates were probably never going to be this low. And so what a great opportunistic time for the buyers and sellers who were looking to maybe downsize or exit the markets. I think there's a number of factors that are adding even more stress to that. You know, supply and demand, there's a finite number of existing property out there. And the home builders have also been slower with new projects. They're having supply material supply issues, lumber and other key raw materials that they need for home buying. Those prices have gone up as well. So I think we're getting this combination of factors. You know, there's a dwindling supply of existing properties, and there's not the normal volume of new construction starts to augment or backfill to meet the needs that the buying public is potentially going to participate in. And so, you know, I think the combination of those, you know, will cause somewhat of a muting factor on growth.
And as we talk about home prices, I want to discuss the nation's luxury home markets. Last year, the luxury market really heated up as renewed interest from high-end buyers drove demand. Can you touch on how these markets are behaving currently? How do they compare to the rest of the housing market overall?
You know, I think they are having somewhat of a different experience. You know, these are markets that I won't say are recessionary proof or can operate in complete isolation of what's going on in the more macro markets. But, you know, as you said, we did see phenomenal upward performance in the luxury markets throughout 2020. Although what we started to see were some changes there as well, much of which was driven by behaviors coming out of the pandemic. And we saw that urban centers, urban luxury markets were starting to slow down, and we're seeing some outflow. And the net beneficiary of those luxury markets were suburban areas, as well as, you know, even broader geographic movements. So not just people moving out of Manhattan and going to New Jersey or Connecticut. While a lot of that took place, we were also seeing luxury shift where people were coming out of New York and going to North Carolina and Florida and, you know, coastal South Carolina on the West Coast, people coming out of LA, San Francisco, and going into some of the mountain resort areas in Colorado and in Utah and in Idaho and Montana. And so, you know, people, the luxury buyer who has that flexibility and is finding themselves working remote more than they would in an office and maybe seeing that trend continue, there's a movement to states with lower taxes that have a lot of other attractive amenities that the luxury buyers are looking for, but they're in environments where they're not worried about long distance commutes and traffic and other factors. And so I think that, you know, indications are that that is continuing to happen. And in many cases, places they're going, there's a supply and demand dynamic in place. And they are coming out of high cost markets, coming into attractive markets and willing to pay well above asking price, because on a value comparison, you know, that luxury purchase is getting them double and maybe even triple the property type that they're trading out of, coming from some of these other high cost luxury areas. And so markets that we're seeing some downward adjustment on, I mentioned New York, the Bay Area, Los Angeles, Boston, and then parts of Hawaii are also seeing some of that effect as well. And so I think it's still going to be a strong market throughout 21. Much of that market is not nearly as impacted by the rate environment. Oftentimes people are using financing in those markets merely as a leverage or a tax benefit, versus in the first time home buyer and the other traditional mortgage markets where, you know, financing is required in order to facilitate the home purchase. And so I think it should continue to be strong, but somewhat different than maybe it looked like in 2020.
Right. And so we've talked about the luxury market, but before we wrap today, is there anything else you think we should know about the housing market as a whole?
There's nothing that's really top of mind. I think that, we'll be continuing to watch, home price index, to see how that squeezes out affordability in certain markets. And then, as I said, we talked a lot about interest rates and the impact that that has on absolute purchase power and activity levels. And so, the fundamentals of supply and demand and cost of borrowing continue to be, some of the most significant drivers in where markets go. And those will be the things that we'll be having a watchful eye on.
All right. Well, I'd like to say thank you for joining us today on Housing Wire Daily, and I hope we can hear from you soon.
Thank you very much. Look forward to it.
Thank you.
Now more than ever, the housing industry is looking to its leaders for answers. That's why each week, the Housing News Podcast invites a new mortgage, fintech, or real estate executive to the show to provide its listeners with more perspective on the announcements and news stories crossing Housing Wire's news desk. Hosted by Sarah Wheeler and produced by Alcina Lloyd, the Housing News Podcast is now available on iTunes, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and more.
Thanks for listening to Housing Wire Daily. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode, and we'll catch everyone back here again tomorrow.